in times like this, in times like these are not the time to quit tithing.
Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory with Gloria Copeland and Pastor George Pearsons, hear the extraordinary testimony of a man who set out to prove that tithing works. You can experience the same blessing in your life. Now here's Gloria.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to day 5 or day 45, where it's the fifth day of this week, but it's the 45th day of this prosperity teaching and blessing from Pastor George, and it has been awesome. And I think it'd be great if you'd let him know how much you enjoyed it. So day 5 is, we're going into part 2, and guess what it is? Now is not the time to quit tithing.
That's right. Absolutely. You know, that's a word that the Lord gave me as I was reading a survey that was recently done talking about, because of the economic situation, that churches' income offerings were declining, tithing was declining. And as I read that, I was just stirred on the inside. And the Lord shouted this in my spirit, now is not the time to quit tithing.
Amen. Oh, yeah, I believe that.
And people are moved by fear, seeing what's going on around them. And these are the times and these are the days where we continue to tithe, we continue to give.
That's right.
And the last time we were talking about this, we talked about sowing your way out of a situation. And you brought up the point, sowing your way out of lack and sowing your way into the blessing.
Amen.
Well, you tithe your way out of lack,
yes,
and you tithe your way into the blessing and into the abundance of God. And we just started doing a tithing refresher yesterday. We talked from Malachi chapter 3 that bring all the tithes into the storehouse. The tithe is the 10% of our income. Tithing is the process by which we give the tithe to the high priest, which is Jesus. We give our tithe to where we are spiritually fed so that we can continue to be fed. God takes that tithe and reinvests it for our spiritual benefit and for our spiritual welfare. And then yesterday we looked at Leviticus 27, verses 30 and 32, and the fact that the tithe belongs to God and that He does reinvest it for our benefit. We set that apart for Him.
That's right.
That is set apart and set away. You know, Gloria, when I do my bills, and I'm the one at the house that does the bills, the tithe is the first check that is written.
Good.
That is right at the top before anything else is written, before any bill is paid. That tithe is set apart. I put it in an envelope and I mark on it our name, and then I bring it to church, and then when we receive the offering, we literally take that envelope and we put it in the basket, as we'll find out in just a moment from Deuteronomy 26. But that's set apart and set away from everything else, because that's so precious to us. That is our life. That is our prosperity sitting right there. And so we do that. I do that the first thing I do. And that every time extra comes into our household, whether somebody sows into our lives or whatever happens, we always immediately think 10%. The church does that as well. On all the finances that come in, of course, to Kenneth Copeland Ministries, 10% right off the top goes back out to minister to those that are ministering the gospel, getting the gospel to people that cannot get the gospel, to help them, to support them. And we do that in the church as well. Right off the top, 10% is taken and we set it apart. It's holy unto the Lord.
Have you ever had a year you didn't increase in the church?
No, we've continued.
See?
We've just continued.
Amen.
And yesterday we read that testimony from A.W. Copeland, Kenneth's dad, about how they were able to survive, not just survive, but thrive during the Depression era. And I love to hear Kenneth talk about those stories about what Granddad did. And Granddad was just, he was a real businessman. I mean, going into that town and buying cones of cheese or the cone of cheese and dividing it up and then selling it. He was just that way. But he was a tither. And we read yesterday, A.W. Copeland said this. He was referring to tithing during the Depression. One of the real keys that kept us going was the fact that we were tithing. We never missed a payment. I just kept on working, and we just kept on tithing.
Yes,
we never lacked anything.
That was during the Depression.
They tithed right through the Depression. Well, how much more should we continue and not let up on our tithing?
That's right. Absolutely.
So that we can walk in the blessing that God has for us. So this is a tithing refresher. So let's look at Deuteronomy 26. Deuteronomy 26, and we won't read all of this today, but we'll read portions of it. But you should go to Deuteronomy 26 and read about how to handle the tithe. I remember, Gloria, when Kenneth taught this years ago.
I remember.
It was a series he did called Tithing the Tithe, and he taught it in the chapel building and had a seminar on the tithe. And I remember my eyes were opened to actually how we handle the tithe. And we don't just, I think we call it pass and plunk.
Yeah.
They pass the plate and just plunk it in. But there's a process of faith.
That's right. That's a good way to say it, process of faith.
The process of faith by which we do that. And I know that you and Kenneth do that. He talks
That's
about
right.
that and the times that you and he have come together and prayed over that tithe.
Over it. Lay hands on it.
Lay hands on it. Come into agreement with each other over it. And so tithing is the faith action that sets the covenant of blessing in motion that opens the windows of heaven.
It gets God in on your deal.
It
whatever your deal is.
That's a good way to put it, Gloria.
Right.
God gets in your deal.
That's right.
And God can get in our deal. And tithing is done with words of faith, prayerfully, and by the love of God. Let's look at some of this.
And it's a time of worship.
You worship the Lord with your giving.
That's right.
You worship the Lord. That's why, I mean, I think about this whenever I hear about a church that some churches now, they don't receive their offering during the service. You drop it off on the way out.
I would never do that.
And that's what some churches do. But you miss out on the benefit.
Oh, yeah, it's time to release your faith.
Yeah.
There's so many good promises where tithing is concerned, that when you tithe, you believe God
Praise God.
On the Word of God.
Ooh. And what we have in Deuteronomy 26 is a real picture of what we do in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just read a little bit of this. Verse 1, and it shall be when you come to the land which the Lord has given you for an inheritance, and you possess it, you dwell therein, that you shall take of the first of all the fruit of the earth which you shall bring of the land that the Lord has given to you, you shall put it in a basket and go to the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to put his name there. And you shall go unto the priest that shall be in those days. Well, we know, Gloria, that the priest in these days is Jesus.
That's right.
In Hebrews 3, 1 and 7, 8, Jesus is the high priest of our tithe. And he takes the tithe and he presents it to the Father. He says in verse 3, you should say to him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I'm come into the country which the Lord swore unto thy fathers to give us. And then it says in verse 4, the priest shall take the basket out of your hand and set it before the altar of the Lord God. And he shall say, before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father. And he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few and became there a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice, looked on our affliction and our labor, and the Lord brought us out forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with great terribleness and signs and wonders, and has brought us into this place and has given to us this land, a land that flows with milk and honey.
Now, what opened the door to that movement of God?
That was the tithe.
The tithe. It's put right here
the
together.
Tithe.
The Lord showed himself strong on behalf of his tithing people.
And all of that right there, Gloria, is a picture of New Testament times. Let me just read this very quickly to you. They're talking about being delivered from Egypt. Yeah. And with us in Colossians 1:13, He's delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son.
Amen.
So we've been delivered from that power of darkness, from that place of Egypt, and we've been delivered into the kingdom of His dear Son.
Praise God.
Well, it goes on to say here in verse 10, we set it before the Lord thy God and worship Him with
yes.
it. So that's what you were just saying.
You release your faith. You worship. You release your faith. You don't just plunk it in the bucket. You worship God with it. Ken and I lay hands. We pray at home over mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. And we lay hands on that check or checks, and we believe God, and we release our faith, and we take the blessings of a tither. Hallelujah.
The blessing of the tither.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Glory to God.
Absolutely.
And we're prosperous.
We are. We
Some
are.
Some people don't like it, but we are prosperous anyway.
Well, if you go down through, you read through here, and you read the different things that they said, and you come to verse 15, and it says, look down from thy holy habitation from heaven
yes.
and bless your people and the land which you've given us, as you swore unto thy fathers, a land that flows with milk and honey. Well, where did that come from? The tithe?
Yes.
It came right. from the tithe. So if you are wanting to be in a land flowing with milk and honey, what you need to do is tithe your tithe. Bring it.
Yes,
bring it before
right.
the Lord and worship Him with it.
And do it in faith.
And do it in faith, believing
Whatever
God.
Whatever you do, do it in faith.
Look down from your holy habitation.
Yes, amen.
And we will walk in a land that's flowing with milk
Praise
and honey.
Praise God.
Let's look at another okay. scripture, Gloria. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. I am a tither, and I love to tithe.
I love Proverbs chapter 3.
Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of your increase, so shall your barns be filled with plenty,
yes.
and your presses shall Ooh. Burst out with new wine. What does your say in the
Honor
Amplified
the Lord
Translation?
With your capital and sufficiency, and with the first fruits of all your income, so shall your storage places be filled with plenty, and your vats shall be overflowing with new wine.
Wow.
So your storage areas
overflowing. A storage area even overflowing.
Hallelujah.
It's filled with plenty.
Filled and overflowing.
And your vat shall be overflowing with new wine. That's what the tithe does. It places us in the position of the overflow.
Now, we generally store our money in a bank,
mm-hmm.
not in our shoe or mm-hmm. something like that.
Yeah.
So the storage place for most of us is the bank.
Yep.
And this says, our storage place shall be filled, our bank account,
shall be filled with plenty.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory
yes.
to God.
It'll be overflowing. The Message
overflowing.
Translation. Honor God with everything you own. Give Him the first and the best.
Yes, that's right.
Your barns will burst and your wine vats will brim over.
Now, when we started tithing, we were in need of everything. And we had no money. We didn't have any extra money. And we got revelation. Light came.
Mm-hmm.
We said, we're going to tithe
mm-hmm.
anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And from that time, we began to increase.
And you and Kenneth tied in Tulsa right when
tithed
he was getting
Tulsa,
ready
right.
to start school.
A 30-year-old freshman.
At the blue table.
Yes, at the the homemade blue table that I put pieces together from several different tables.
And you and Kenneth made that quality decision to yeah. tithe. Boy, what a game changer that was.
Oh, we began
what
to increase. We'd been married quite a few years,
wow.
but we never had increased.
Wow.
Until started tithing.
And you were on the road to increase because
and
of the tithe.
And we didn't tithe out of our abundance. We didn't wait
yeah.
until we had plenty to tithe. No, we'd have still been trying to get plenty.
Gloria, I want to share a story, and it's in our notes, and these are available to you as well online. But I want to share something that Keith Moore preached about, and I got a transcript of this because it just so impacted me about the reality of the tithe.
Keith has such marvelous revelation.
Oh, my. Oh, my. And he received this. There was a book written in 1940 by a farmer named Perry Hayden. I need to find that book.
Yeah,
I need to get a copy of that book. And so Perry Hayden, a farmer, and let me read this to you because it's so good. Perry Hayden heard his pastor preach a message about tithing. Pastors, maybe we need to be preaching more about tithing, huh? So he heard his pastor preach about tithing, and he decided to try an experiment to see how much harvest a seed would produce. So his plan was to sow 1 cubic inch of wheat, or 360 kernels. He committed to the Lord that for a period of 6 years, he would tithe 10% of the harvest and sow the rest. So that's what he did. He started out with 360 kernels, or a cubic inch of wheat. In the first year, it took a 4-foot by 8-foot plot of land to sow 1 cubic inch of seed. So if you can just picture that like a folding table size, 8-foot by 4-foot, mm-hmm. that's what it took to plant this cubic inch of seed, 360 kernels. At harvest time, he scraped the ground in order to get every kernel of wheat.
How about that?
Every precious seed counted. The first year produced a 50-fold harvest. He tithed 10%. In the second year, it took 24-foot by 60-foot plot of land to sow the seed from the harvest of the first year.
Awesome.
Now that plot of land, it grew from 4 by 8 to 24 by 60 feet to be able to plant that seed. He tithed 10% from that harvest. In the third year, it took 3/4 of an acre to sow, and he tithed the 10% of that harvest. In the fourth year, it took 14 acres to sow, and he tithed 10% of the harvest. In the fifth year, it took 230 acres to sow, at 230 acres from a 4-foot by 8-foot plot of land, 230 acres, and then he tithed 10% of that harvest. By the sixth year, it took over 2,600 acres to sow 5,000 bushels.
That's increase.
That's increase.
Blessing.
That's increase.
Yes, it is.
So the
wow.
The total of it was 360 kernels, or a cubic inch, had turned into 55 billion, and the largest yield was only 50-fold. Perry Hayden made, now this is back in 1940.
That would be a lot of money.
But that would be a lot of money in 1940. He made $288,000 in 6 years compared to the other farmers who only made an average of $21,000.
What made the difference?
The tithe.
Blessing.
The blessing.
That came because he was a tither.
Yeah.
That's what made the difference.
That's
in our
what
lives.
Made the difference.
We began to increase. Glory
and
to
so
God. That is great, George. I've never heard that.
The experiment worked, and God will bless your harvest when you tithe. And so we need to make that commitment, and we need to make that dedication in times like this, in times like these. Times like these are not the time to quit tithing.
Oh, no, no, no. Mm-hmm.
It's especially in times like these that we activate the tithe, that we release our faith in the tithe, and that we do the same thing that Perry Hayden did, and that he took that cubic inch and he made a commitment before the Lord that he would tithe every time increase would come to him.
Praise God. I like that a lot.
And so it increased 2,600 acres. 2,600, that's increase.
That's increase.
That's increase. And the Lord wants to increase us more and more and more. Praise God. Let's finish up.
When you think back to where we were when we started tithing, maybe our income was, I don't know, $500, $700
yeah.
a month.
Yeah.
To what our income is now. I look like that farmer. Glory
Absolutely.
To God. How, but that's been a lot of years. It's been
but
40
been,
years ago
you've been
plus.
Tithing.
Yeah. So
you've
we've increased. Tithing. We've continued to increase. And that's what you do when you tithe. You just keep increasing.
You just keep
increasing.
Increasing.
You keep sowing. Yep. You keep increasing your gifts. You keep increasing your tithe. And you keep increasing your money and your assets.
I was going to one scripture, but I was thinking about this other one over in Malachi. And I believe that this farmer believed Malachi 3 and how appropriate it is for a farmer. Listen to this. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. Prove me now, saith the Lord, if I'll not open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing. I will rebuke the seed eater.
The seed eater, the devourer,
your sake.
Yes.
He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground.
The increase of your
ground. Increase. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts.
You'll get a good harvest.
You'll get a good harvest.
Hallelujah.
Harvest time.
Yay, Jesus.
Harvest time.
Oh, man, that's
praise
so powerful,
God.
George.
And
hallelujah.
Then it says, I was turning to this one in Psalm 115. It says, the Lord... In verse 12, Psalm 15, 12, the Lord has been mindful of us. Mm-hmm. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He'll bless the house of Aaron. He'll bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children.
Our children are increasing.
So we need
to
teach.
Our grandchildren are increasing.
We need to teach our children how to tithe. I've got a great...
We did that. You did that. We did that.
We've been doing that all this time.
All of our children tithe.
And we have a tremendous testimony from our church about a family that taught their children how to tithe from a very early age. And we need to be doing that with our children.
Oh, absolutely.
I need to go find Justice and Eileen when I get through with these tapings and sit down with them and teach them about tithing.
They're very young.
Here's 10. Let's take this one out. Praise God. And our children will increase.
Yes.
But we must, in times like these, we must be tithers. Let me pray over everyone now where the tithe is concerned.
Let's do it.
Father, in the name of Jesus,
Father,
I pray over everyone that is watching this broadcast.
Lord.
And Lord, we thank you for the tithe. We thank you for the benefits of the tither. We thank you for the blessing of the tithe. And we believe
you,
in Jesus' name, that the windows of heaven are open, that the blessing is being poured out. The blessing is being poured upon businesses, upon households, upon families right now, that there is not room enough to contain it all. It's overflow time. It's harvest time. And harvest, we call you in the name of Jesus. Harvest, you come to us in
Jesus'
name. And we receive the harvest of the seed we sow, and we receive the benefit of the tithe, and we watch that grow right before our eyes. And Father, we thank you that every bill is paid, every need is met, every debt is wiped out in the name of Jesus. And I declare you prosperous now. In Jesus'
name.
Amen.
We receive
and
it.
And amen.
Church, say we receive
we
it.
We receive it
receive
now.
The blessing.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Praise
powerful,
God, Gloria.
George.
What a good
We're
week
blessed.
It's been. We are blessed.
Glory. Pastor George and I will be back in just a moment.
I remember making that decision. Okay, I don't care. It's going to be tight, you know, finances were tight, you know, a lot of bills and things to pay, raising children, all that. So you're just going to go ahead and step out and do it. So when it did it, God honored that. And what he did was, all of a sudden I had extra money that I didn't know I had, or the money seemed to stretch farther. And I think that the root of that thing is, or the baseline of that is that when you take a step forward in faith, God responds to you. Right? And you can do that in the area of tithing. You could do that in the area of giving. You can do that in the area of just taking a little bit of time to talk to somebody and sowing your time. Any of those things that we do have some kind of return associated when we do it as unto the Lord.
Praise God for the power of a seed. And we have the opportunity and the honor and the privilege to sow seed. Today is Offering Day on the Believer's Voice Victory broadcast. Let's talk about seed for just a moment. You know, I heard a preacher when we were in Australia this last time. There was a pastor that was receiving the offering at a church. And he was talking about an apple. And he said, you know, you can cut this apple and you can take the seeds out and you can count the seeds in an apple. But he said, what's really hard to do is count the apples in the seed.
That's good.
I thought,
I like that.
Man, that is really good.
Excellent.
Because the power of the seed, the power of sowing seed. And there are two scriptures, Gloria, I wanted us to look at as we prepare for this offering. First of all, in Genesis chapter 1, 29, it says, God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be provision.
Praise God.
So our seed is our provision, isn't it?
That's right.
We sow seed, and then we reap harvest from that seed.
Our seed provides for our future.
Oh, Gloria, you come up with such one-liners.
I like that.
Our seed provides for our future.
Hallelujah. I'm gonna remember that.
That's awesome. Somebody write that down somewhere, because that's really good. Our seed provides for our future. And then this scripture in Psalm 104, 14, it says, He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and seed for the service of man.
Amen.
That he may bring forth fruit out of the earth. So our seed serves us. We sow it,
That's right.
It serves us. And just like Perry Hayden did with the seed that he sowed, and it grew from 1 cubic inch to 2,300 acres of harvest, and he tithed off of all of that. Father, I pray right now,
Lord,
over every partner and friend
that
has been involved in giving in this ministry, sowing their seed, their precious seed. I pray for those that will sow their seed today. And we thank you for the magnificent harvest that comes from sowing seed. And our seed provides for our future.
Yes, thank you.
Our seed provides for tomorrow. Our seed is part of our tomorrow. And Father, we thank you for that. And we thank you for ministering to them.
Yes, Jesus.
Partners, friends, thank you. Whatever gift that you send in, I thank God that everybody is doing their part, and as we all do our part together, much will be accomplished for the kingdom of God.
Right.
Now, hey, it's Friday. We've got church coming up on Sunday. Go to church somewhere. Go be involved in a church. If you ever come out here to Fort Worth, come be a part of us here at Eagle Mountain. Now, next week, Gloria and I are going to be talking about how to believe God for a house.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. So you need to be with us as we believe God with you next week, how to believe God for a house. So glory to God, Gloria.
That's
it's going to be a good week.
That's going to be good. We both have houses, by the way.
Amen.
We got by faith.
Amen.
Gloria. This is Gloria and George reminding you that
Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For a copy of today's broadcast on DVD or CD, our product offer, or for more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit our website at kcm.org. Come to these exciting meetings. Come to the 2011 Word Explosion with Kenneth Copeland, Bill Winston, and Chaplain A.L. Downing, October 13th through 15th in Columbia, South Carolina. The Copelands welcome you the 10th through 12th of November to the 2011 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. The Branson Victory Campaign with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, the 8th through 10th of March, 2012, at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. The 2012 Southwest Believers Convention, July 2nd through 7th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. The 2012 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign, come November 8th through 10th to the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. For more information on these and other KCM meetings, call 800-600-7395. That's 800-600-7395. Or visit our website at kcm.org.